week has been a really exciting episode. We sat down with our wonderful guest, and I feel so pumped and excited, and like I want to go do great things. It was one of these super positive episodes.
Yes, this episode was super inspiring. We had the wonderful Shadi from Maya, a PR guru of all gurus.
Oh my God, her clients are incredible.
I know. And she's just, when she speaks, I'm like, yeah.
Taking notes.
Yeah, tell me more. Yes.
So, you know, if you're in the industry or you're interested in communications or starting your own business or just, you know, being from a third culture, this is a fantastic episode for you to listen. She has the most soothing voice and the shiniest hair. So
we love her.
Yeah, we can't wait for you to listen. This is Candid with
Hanin
and
Zahra. Today, we have one of my favorite people in the studio. The wonderful and absolutely beautiful Shadi Mouazzami.
Love it.
With a super shiny hair.
Oh my God.
It's unnatural. It is so shiny.
It's the Iranian hair.
She's one of the cleanest people. Every time I see her, she just looks so put together.
And sparkly.
Yeah.
Like, not in glitter, but like, you know how like shiny hair, like shiny skin.
She looks squeaky
clean. Yeah, exactly.
Squeaky clean.
Yeah. Sorry for the awkward intro.
I'm clean, everyone. Yeah.
But thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
One of the things that we do with all our guests is we ask them to tell us about themselves in 30 seconds or less.
This is difficult because I will obviously get to this, but I'm a PR person and it's so strange to talk about yourself, even if it's for just 30 seconds. So
you can do it.
Forgive me. So Shadi is my name. I am Iranian, but I grew up in the UK, hence the very English voice. I'd say I'm equal parts English breakfast tea and cello kebab. So a good balance.
I love
there.
That.
Living in Dubai is perfect for that as well because I have the perfect balance of the two. I've been here for 12 years now. One of the reasons is because I'm closer to my family in Iran, but then lucky enough to be able to go back to the UK. And obviously work opportunities are pretty amazing here too. PR person, as I said, have worked in a number of amazing PR agencies such as 4 Communications, who I came out with as part of a grad scheme right after uni, through to Edelman, Darbo & Co., which was acquired by Edelman. And then I was at Jamira Group for 3 years, which was amazing. And then left Jamira just pre-COVID to set up my own little boutique consultancy for travel, hospitality, design, and basically all things fabulous in terms of travel and, you know, exploring for that.
That's a very impressive
yes
resume, and in so little time. Like, you're still very young.
Yeah, well... I feel more older than I am.
No, you're yeah. still young for everything that you've achieved so far.
But you know, that's also the beauty of the UAE and Dubai. There's so many opportunities, as we all know, and it's up to us to make the most of them and embrace whatever it is, the good, the bad, for all of it. And I think I would say I'm quite proud to have embraced a lot of the peaks and troughs of being here. And so that just allows you to do so much more in a limited time that I would never have been able to do if I'd stayed in the UK, definitely not if I was in Iran. So yeah, there's a lot to be said for the UAE for that as well.
Yes. Yeah, I know her resume. That's why she's on the podcast.
So I'm always very interested in talking to people who come from a multicultural background, if you will, because you're from somewhere and you were born and raised somewhere else and then now you live in a third place. So
yeah.
how do you feel like that has affected the way you kind of deal with things? Like, what's your support system like? Because I feel like if you've been born and raised and grew up in the same place, you maybe deal with things differently than if you've had to pick up and move several times
so
and
true.
Start from nothing.
Yeah, so true. I love this question because it changes as we evolve and grow. So when I was much younger, obviously it would have been much, much harder, especially. So I was born in Iran. We moved to the UK when I was about 3.5 years old, and we moved to a lovely town that was very, very English, which I still consider my home, but it was very English, and people didn't know anyone from the Middle East until the Iraq War happened, and then everybody was Iraqi, or you were Indian, or you were Pakistani, and people didn't really know much about Iran. And so growing up, it was really sad because we had this beautiful, warm home. And I know a lot of people from the Middle East know about Iranian food and music and how progressive and well-educated Iranian families are, especially those like my parents who had the foresight to move to another country, you know, more than 30 years ago. And so it was really sad because I'd seen my wonderful mum and my dad and my older brother, and people didn't understand that, and they couldn't. So I had my lovely girlfriends from school coming, and they didn't know anything about the Middle East, let alone Iran, let alone my mum's amazing saffron rice, or, you know, like the gougoosh sounds that my mum was listening to, all these types of things. But then as I grew up, I kind of went into my own style, I guess, and I found my own identity of more of a multicultural person. And I started to really embrace the British side of things, which I again love, and the Iranian side of things. And I actually moved to London, and that made things a lot easier because people then knew about the Middle East and they knew about Iran. There were a lot of Arabs where I was, when I went to university, a lot of diverse people, regardless of actually the Middle East, from everywhere. So that changed a lot. And then I kind of felt a little bit more exotic rather than different, which was especially sort of puberty and being a girl and all those horrible things that we think about ourselves when we're 13, 14. Still think about myself sometimes that way, but definitely when I was younger. And then I had the absolute privilege to move to the UAE, where everyone knew Iran, and there were people from Iran who were kind of second generation and third generation. And it was just incredible all of a sudden to have people who knew more about Iran than I knew. And I was so close. And so I've been here for 12 years, but I go back every 6 months. My mum comes every 3 months. I have been there for cousins' weddings. I have been there for births. I know more about the history because I have the chance to travel there, and it's just incredible. And so now I'd say I found this perfect balance of saying I'm obviously Iranian because I look Iranian and my name is very Iranian, thank you Zahra, but I obviously sound like this, and I am very British in my approach because I've been there since I was so young, and I love that. And Dubai allows you to do that because it doesn't really necessarily matter where you come from, it's where we are now and how we act. And especially now with this new pandemic life that we have, we're kind of citizens of the world, and we can be a good human, and that's all that matters. Kindness, mindfulness, empathy, regardless of the color of your skin or the color of your hair or how clean it may be or not be, like all of these just mean more to me. I guess thankfully I'm around a lot more people who live their lives in a very similar fashion. Again, Dubai is incredible. So now I love it, and hopefully in the future I'll grow and evolve to love it even more as the world gets smaller and we can embrace each other's cultures and their differences in a really positive way. And who knows what else we might like experience and learn about each other, which is just, yeah, it's pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
I love these values. I wish more people had them, honestly. Yeah. Like everyone should just respect everyone else and not judge them based on anything that you see on the surface.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because obviously you guys know this as well, being small business owners. In a very small town, there's a lot of things that we can do, but a lot of people know about you and they can recognize your name, especially in the PR world. And I've always really struggled with that because there's enough work for absolutely everyone to do really, really well. And being nice and allowing everybody else to have that time, as well as allowing yourself to have that time and space to succeed in whatever area you choose, is really lovely. And I'd much rather put energy into that and kind of support other people to also win and do well in the same way that I'm doing that for myself. So I think those values definitely come across a lot. Again, it's the circles that you surround yourself with as well, right?
Yeah. No, I love that. And I think being like a third culture kid kind of teaches you to adapt. And that way, moving around, understanding other people's cultures because you've had a hard time trying to figure out your own because you've been all over the place, really helps you adapt and be more kind and understanding and you know, taking everything in and not having that, this is how I am, this is how it should be done, you know? So I think that's also another way.
I think it's easier being nice to people when people have treated you differently based on your name and your color and your background. And
yeah,
I think the three of us being from Middle Eastern backgrounds, we can kind of understand a little bit how some people treat you differently because of your name and your nationality.
Totally.
And so you just, it's better to just put a stop to that and then pass on the kindness to others and not just do the same kind of xenophobic.
Exactly. So true. Like close that cycle, move on to the next.
Yeah.
Because it's all a domino effect. So you might as well stop it when you can and introduce the nicer side, the better side of things.
Totally.
I agree.
So I'm not going to say I'm an expert on Iran in any way. I mean, I have Zahra as a source.
Which is the worst source you can have,
not
unfortunately.
Sure how good that is. But from what I know about Iranians is that they, it's such a beautiful culture, like the music and the scents and the colors, and it's very much an artisanal kind of culture as well, the arts and so forth. Do you think that that kind of affected your choice of career and study?
That's such a great question. Perhaps. I've never really thought about that, actually. Definitely. I remember from a very young age being obsessed with books. My mom would take us to the local library on a Saturday, and I think we're allowed to take 6 books out each time, and I would kind of force my brother to give me his allocation to take as many books as I could. And so as soon as I kind of learned English, because I was still quite young when we went, books were my thing. I have a very entrepreneurial family. My dad has his own business. My brother went into that business, but then now is working in a different industry. So I guess marrying the two of kind of arts and culture and being interested in absolutely everything, and kind of soaking up everything that I could through books, definitely affected the way I would see things as well from a business side of things, which was kind of the traditional Iranian parent of this is the type of industry you should be in and the type of work you should be doing. So I would say, I guess, yes. Because of the books, I loved literature. And so I did English literature at university. And I was lucky to go to a really great school. We were put on like the debating society. And I have an older brother who loves to discuss things and argue with me. So he was also on the debating society. So it was kind of this competitive thing with him. So then I learned to talk a lot and be on stage a lot and articulate very clear opinions on things from studying. So it's quite academic, but still went down that route. And then I think a teacher of mine just suggested, you know, you'd be very good in public relations. And I hadn't really ever heard of that. And I didn't know what that was. I thought, okay, might as well. But you know, when you're at university, especially when you study a broad subject like English, you kind of just think, oh, anything will happen and it's fine. And I don't really, we don't think 6 months ahead, let alone your career as such. So I just applied for a few internships and then a few grad schemes. And I got this for communications grad scheme for their office in Dubai via London. I thought, oh, might as well try that. It's a year anyway, and I'll be close to my family in Dubai, sorry, in Iran, and I'll see how it goes. And that was it. I just kind of got into the agency way of doing things and client servicing, working really, really hard in terms of kind of the late night coverage reports and the media relations and all these things that you have to do, getting the post and the coffee, all those things that we all know. And it just kind of evolved and grew into something that I can't really say now what it is, but I guess is my career. And it's something I'm passionate about. And as you know from the other ladies that you've had on the podcast, like PR is ever evolving, like it's constantly growing and changing. Social media, brand communications, integrated campaigns. And I guess that's quite exciting. And so it's there's a lot of opportunity to keep on evolving with that, which I guess is what I really like and thrive off, rather than the traditional public relations side of things, which I would have originally thought.
But do you ever find that overwhelming?
I mean, yeah, there's so much potential, isn't there? There's so much you can do, and there's so much it's up to you for which you which opportunity you make the most of. It's really hard not to get greedy, because you just, and it's really hard to say no, as we all know. Having those boundaries and having that approach that's you feel is right at that time is really difficult. And especially now, because it's my own business and it's only a couple of years old, I have a very specific idea of how I want things to go. But that doesn't always happen. I set up Maya, which is the name of the company, 6 months before COVID. And it's for travel and hotels, because I worked at Jumeirah and I wanted to stay within hotels. And none of my clients were hotels, because they that was physically impossible because of the pandemic. So then I evolved into something a little bit more broader in terms of hospitality. But now there's so many incredible opportunities, because Dubai is, again, growing and booming. And there are people who hear about you, or they see you, or they see what you might have done, and they're smart enough to want to apply that to their businesses, and they'll come to you with opportunities, which is incredibly flattering, but it's 1% flattering, 99% terrifying, because you haven't thought of that, and you think, well, what if this opportunity comes about and I don't make the most of it, and then I lose out, and then I'm on the back foot, and I'm going to regret this in the future, and you're constantly having this horrible conversation with yourself that is really overwhelming. It gets quite boring at times, because most of the time I'm like, come on, Shadi, stop this, like, just get on with it, whatever it is, and you'll learn from it, even if it's the wrong decision. But I haven't figured out the appropriate way to go about it. And I guess I'm just going to have to make a load of mistakes, but also have some great highs with it and then continue to reflect and see what works. And that's all we can do, right?
Yeah.
It's also a lot of responsibility when you're calling the shots. And I think that's something a lot of people who are non-business owners don't realize, that that's like one more added thing that makes it so hard to own your own business is the line of reporting. It ends at you. That's okay. It's your responsibility. So if you say no to an opportunity or yes, whatever the outcome is, it's on you.
Totally.
And I think for someone who works in a field like PR, when it's just, it's coming at you in full force and there's things left and right. So there's a little bit of like maybe a mix of FOMO and so, like, I want to take this opportunity, but can I take on more?
Totally.
Is this suitable for me? Because you've carved out a niche for yourself. So you're not going to take every single opportunity that comes your way. So how do you find the discipline to turn down things? And I know this is something Zahra struggles with a lot, because she feels like she should take on a lot more than she already does. So how do you have the discipline to just say, no, you know what, enough. This is what I'm doing professionally and I need to make time for myself personally and this doesn't align with me.
Yeah, it's so hard. So very hard. I think being the only person to make the decisions is really overwhelming. Even if you are usually good at making decisions, I'd like to consider myself as quite a decisive person. But you're right, when it's on you and you can be your own worst enemy as well as your best support, that's even worse, because I don't want future Shadi to be angry, but I know she will be anyway, because it's just the way we always are with ourselves. It's really challenging. The FOMO is so true, because I'll say no to something and I know I'm not the right person for it, or have the right approach for it, but then I'll see someone else doing it and I get jealous. And it's so surreal, because I can see that I made this decision and I can see this individual or company doing an amazing job. I'm like, should have been me, because for whatever reason I feel like I have to do everything, and do I have to keep on proving myself over and over again? Whereas, like, we have, like, we're here, we're doing it, like, there's nothing else to prove, like, other than what you want to do yourself. But I'm not gonna like lose my business overnight because I say no to something that someone else has done, or not even my business, my career. Like, of course not. Like, this could not work out and I could decide tomorrow that I'm gonna give it all up and I'm just gonna apply for a job, any job. And I still have my career, but I don't know why sometimes I think that one simple decision is going to really be the thread that I'm going to unravel, and everything is just going to go crazy, and it's not. And I don't know why we put this pressure on ourselves, but
I know. I think we get blinded by our achievements. Like, we forget that we've come this far and we've done this much. Just because we've let go of an opportunity that clearly didn't fit, we're like, oh my God, look at what a dumb decision I made. Yeah. There goes my career. And you're like, but look at what you've done so far. And you don't, like you said, you don't have to say yes to everything. It doesn't, it's not going to make you or break you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so true.
It's so difficult.
But it this is something that we have talked about before. Yeah. I'm really lucky enough to spend a bit of time with Zahra a lot over the past few years.
I'm never invited to
now
these
Now you
things.
Will be, honey.
This is why I love Shadi.
Your integrity is your best PR. And I only learned this the last year, really, because there are people who will vouch for you that you haven't spoken to for years, or they might have seen you in an organization that you were a part of, or a journalist or an influencer or a family member or a friend. And we spend so much time overanalyzing ourselves without realizing what our values represent for us, what someone else thinks of us or knows of us or remembers about us. And that integrity, again, is probably what is more likely to open further doors in your career for you than how you might be working today. Like, how did I write that email to that client? Or, oh, I didn't see that journalist at that event and I really should have now. She's not going to reply to my emails ever again. Like, oh, I know you know this.
Are you in my brain right now?
That sounds like I'm listening to Zahra, like, every day.
Yeah. It's too much, isn't it? And it's so difficult to turn that worrying off, even though you're a decisive and clear person also. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't name myself as an overly anxious person, but I do get anxious because there's amazing things to do and I put the pressure on myself and think I have to do everything and have to be absolutely perfect at it. But my idea of perfection is probably very different to yours, and vice versa, especially different to clients or media or influence or anyone, any stakeholder in your life. I even sound like I'm briefing a stakeholder who says that, but
I love it.
But yeah, it's so hard, isn't it? And like, it's just exhausting most of the time.
It really is, and it's crippling. I don't know about you, but I feel like sometimes it gets to the point where I just go like, I can't do anything. Like my mind is like, you've messed up and that's it. And I feel like, which is something I'm actually working on, where I feel like that's, I'm done for the day. My head is going to explode from all this like self-talk and putting myself down for not accepting that project or not doing it the way these other people did it, which is ridiculous because people come to you because of the way you do your thing.
Totally.
You know, everyone has their own unique take on whatever it is they do. So yeah, it can be really, really crippling.
It's funny because with everyone that I speak to, it's always the people who achieve the most that think so little of themselves. It's always the more impressive your portfolio or your work or your CV or your achievements, the more you think you should take on because the more you think you should prove yourself. And it's often so funny. And we do that a lot. We laugh because I envy those people who have the confidence to say, oh my God, I worked so hard. This is my baby. This is amazing. And it's really nothing. Yeah,
so true.
It's a very small endeavor. Good for these people. But I wish that, you know, people like Zahar, people like you, you'd be able to say, no, you know what? Good for me. I'm going to give myself a pat on the back because I did well. Because it's always people like you, and I'm pointing at Zahra.
Why are you guys ganging up on me today?
Who?
I'm with you.
Because I hear, and it's nice to have a guest that kind of mirrors some of the talk you tell yourself, which is, I need to do more and more and more and more. But when is it done? When do you pull the plug? When you disconnect and give yourself time, personal time?
Yeah, well, that's the question. When is the time?
But it's so funny. It's so interesting to hear you say all this because when I look at you, I don't think any of that. I think, oh, she's got her crap together. She's like, she started her old agency, which was all about travel and hospitality when a pandemic hit. But look at you, like, knock on wood, like, you're doing so well. So for me to hear you say you have these like moments where you're like, the insecurity comes out, I'm like, what? If she's like that, then what am I going to say? You know?
See, this is something that I'm really working on, is to show your vulnerability. Mm. And there's been plenty of times when I've been told that I'm quite intimidating or a bit robot-like because I've got my game face on and I'm just actually an old boss of mine, Jason Levy. A lot of people know him in the industry. So I'm like kind of the iceberg mentality of, you know, the iceberg underneath the surface is all the hard work and the top of it is just the glistening thing and it's all perfect and great. And he was right. And I haven't shown that side of myself. Now with my own business, I have a really lovely team working with me and I'm very mindful of, again, the kindness that we talked about earlier and not being like I've got everything together, because there are days when I really don't. And it's very human not to, because life is hard. And sometimes you could be having, I don't know, you could have a really bad headache and a client's tone in an email is not as friendly as it usually is and it tips you over the edge. Like,
and
why
you cry in the car for the rest of the day.
Literally, I've had many of those. But I don't show it because I think, no, I have to be perfect and prim and proper and this good girl. Because, you know, as a good girl, you can't be human, which is wrong.
You can't
obviously
feel emotions.
Can't feel emotion, can't show emotion. How shameful for someone to see me cry. And I'm really working hard on that. And I'll be completely honest and very candid about it, that it's such a struggle, because I'll go home and cry and I'll talk to my mom about it. I'm so lucky to have an amazing relationship with my mom, but I probably wouldn't tell you, Zahra.
Yeah.
And I would listen to you and I'd be like, it's great that we're having this conversation, and I'd be very open-minded, but I probably wouldn't have told you.
Yeah.
But the next time I will tell you, because I need to challenge myself for that, because there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And it makes me even more human and hopefully a better leader or a better friend, sister, colleague, all of these things.
But do you think it goes back to the fact that we're women?
I was just going to ask the same exact question.
Because your boss was a guy.
Well, I've had female and male.
Yeah, but the one that said about the iceberg thing. So that, I mean, would that have been a comment he would have made if it was a male employee?
I don't know. Good question. I'll have to ask him.
Yeah. Because, you're a woman. Also, you're so like...
You're so emotional.
No. Well, he was saying that you're not. You're actually very... But if it was a male guy, he wouldn't have said that. Why'd you point that out? See? Yeah.
I just think that, like, as women, being emotional is considered a bad thing. And every time I've ever been emotional in a professional setting, it's always been like, but why? You should get it together. Like, why are you so upset over this? Or why are you so sad over that? And it's kind of like, isn't that what gives me my strength as well? Like, isn't being emotional in certain fields, isn't that what gives you the edge over other people? Because you so love what you do, or you're so passionate about what you do, that you can't you can't separate them. So I can't be emotional inside about my business and then from the outside look like I don't care. There's a disconnect with what's required of us as women. And I think it's very unhealthy.
So true. Mm. And sometimes I think we forget that biologically we're wired to cry. So sometimes when I get so angry, I get that lump in my throat.
Oh my God, that
And
lump,
my lip yeah. shakes.
My
and
chin.
Yeah, there you go. And I'm crying. But I'm not upset. I'm just furious. But my tears are coming.
Yeah.
And then I get embarrassed because that I don't want to give that person the opportunity to think that I'm weak because I'm so angry with what they've done and I'm about to tell them off, whoever that may be. I just like I forget that like I can't help being a girl. I can't help this happening to my body, and so get it out, and then get on with it again.
Yeah, like, I think if anything, it's healthier for you to get it out because that just keeps. If you keep it in, it's just going to keep festering.
Yeah, so true.
I know every time I have an argument with someone, I have to warn them. I might cry, and this is not a signal of my weakness.
Yeah,
well, it's just that I'm a very emotional person, and I cry. But I have a lot to say, and you have to hear it. Just go past the tears. Yeah. But yeah, I think being emotional shouldn't be a bad thing. We're all human. Everyone has emotions, you know? I think it's about like being real, like you said.
And so
I think
true.
Nowadays it's so important to be real.
So true. But I mean, how wonderful that you have such a big heart, that you feel everything and you can be such a great sense of support and love for people because of your empathy, but then cold-hearted with yourself and keep everything in control. Like you said, Hanine, like the two don't go together.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of your friends and family love both sides of you. They love that your heart is so big and that you're so empathetic and so kind, but also support you when you need to cry, or not even cry, but show any form of emotion, even if that is anger, jealousy,
whatever it may be.
Whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So speaking of, Zahra said, especially now. So with social media and the glitzy world of PR, how do you, because Zahra and I struggle with this sometimes, is like we are in the industry and we still get, you know, taken bamboozled, as you said in the car, by what we see on social media. So how do you, does that ever affect you? Do you ever look at social media and go like, oh my God, look at this. Like, why is this venue so perfect? Or why is this person, oh my God, she looks like she's has everything in control. Does that ever get to you?
Yeah.
Especially in PR and communications.
Every single day. Just even being here is, like I said earlier, is just so surreal for me because I'm the behind the scenes PR. I'm the strategic person telling my spokesperson how to speak, what words to use, how to sit, how to act. And since setting up my own brand, I'm really struggling with it because I want my work to speak for me. But we're in a small town, small country, and a founder-led business needs the founder there at the face of it. And Zahra knows I struggle with this because I'm not a all eyes on me type person. I struggle with it a lot. But I've had a lot of people giving me really helpful advice that I need to be there because at the moment it's my experience and my background that's getting these clients and the work that I've done. So with the page of social media, the business's social media, I've chosen not to have any photos of me on there and not even mention me. And the first question most people ask is like, why aren't you on there? And I'm like, well, it's not really about me. It's about the clients and the work. But there are other people who do so well and they are fantastic at what they do. I have to give them absolute credit to them, They get a lot of clients based on how beloved they are themselves within the industry and their own name. And it works beautifully for them because they've built things up and it's their career. But I can't now all of a sudden start to do the same thing just because someone else is doing that and I see it. And I'm like, okay, we're technically competing for the same business because I've literally been in the pitch room with you. But there's no way I can be like you. I don't have your personality. I don't have your background. But also you don't have mine. And this might not be the right thing. But again, like we said earlier, it's a daily practice of having this conversation with myself because I'll feel it or I'll see it. And I'm like, oh, I should be there. I should have been at that event. I got invited. I didn't go because I was working late or I was tired. Or, you know, I had gym early in the morning, but I should have been there. But then the next day, that person isn't at the 9 a.m. meeting that I'm at winning the business. But I don't say that to myself. I'm like, hey, well, you're doing well and you've got your commercial goals and what you're working towards rather than your brand goals. And sometimes the two aren't going to necessarily mix. And I know a lot of ladies who've been on the podcast have said they work on incredible things that they're not able to share. Mm. And it's the same thing. Like, again, coming back to the iceberg thing, it's like all the hard work underneath that's like kind of this big, which is, I'm kind of showing a big iceberg underneath the waters, to then the tip of it. But like, I'm answering the question, but I know I'll probably do the same thing tomorrow. And the day after that, it's just, again, exhausting.
Yeah. But it's sometimes therapeutic just to know that you're not the only one that does it.
Yeah, so true. And that's why it's really important to talk and be candid and vulnerable, and actually to know that we're so much more similar than we think we are, men and women. And that's good, and it's healthy, again, being human.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that being alone part is what everyone feels. And I'm not saying you have to go and tell everyone your issues and your problems, but I think having a, not a platform, but someone to speak to, or writing it down, or anything that you can vet it out in any way, is very important.
So because true.
It helps you also realize what you're worried about. Sometimes for me personally, when I'm sitting and I'm having a mini panic attack, I keep asking myself why, and then I find out, and it's like the smallest unnecessary thing that's triggered me, and like it's so easy to just deal with, and I deal with it and I'm fine for the rest of the day.
It's like, you know the story about the princess who slept on like 100 mattresses
with
and she
pee.
Couldn't sleep, and then it was just like a little pee.
It's
and
literally
you, anxiety
that.
Is always like that. It's always like one word someone told you yesterday and it still bugs you, even though there's 100 other things going really well, but that pee is the one thing keeps
story
you up at
of
night.
My life. Yeah.
It's funny that you say that. Like, now it just clicked. Like, you're so right when you think about it, and you kind of go through your day and see what's bothering you. It's always that little like little thorn almost.
I mean, I'm not wise. That's what my therapist said, and it worked. So it's all about really digging
just
in.
Just take the credit. It's fine.
Yeah, definitely take the credit. Pat yourself on the back. For sure.
Okay, so tell us about your transition, because you mentioned you worked with Jumeirah Group. Huge, huge, very, very big and well-known group in the Middle East. How was it transitioning? Like, did you leave knowing you were going to start your own thing, or did you feel like you could do better than that? Or what was your
mindset?
Did
you just YOLO because you didn't want to be in the 9-to-5? Like, what was the approach here?
Honestly, I don't know if I can even say it's any of those. Because I had the agency background, I always knew that I preferred the vibrancy of being out in the market more and having the time. And a lot of PR people say this, kind of be the eyes and ears on the ground for the clients. But working for a big corporation, regardless of what industry you're in, you get bogged down in the reality of that one singular brand. Even though I was super lucky to have multiple hotels, it's still Jumeirah. And so I always kind of, I guess I knew that. And I knew that unless I was to move away from the UAE and go and work in another hotel group internationally, I would never leave Jumeirah for anything else. Because why would you? I mean, such a phenomenal brand. We did some incredible, really interesting work with Dubai Tourism from a campaign perspective that was really driving a lot of tourism to the city, but also like was interesting from a commercial perspective because you learned so much that what your story or a campaign does delivers or converts into actual bookings into a hotel or visits to a city. So I knew that. I think that one of the really incredible things of being at Jumeirah was that at a certain period of time, we reported into the chief commercial officer there, and all of the key teams, so PR, marketing, sales, and revenue, were aligned on the commercial goals. And so we would sit in weekly revenue meetings, forecast meetings. A lot of hotel people and restaurant people will know this. And I hadn't done that in agency because you don't ever have access to that. So although I was senior in the agency and I was the one that was going and pitching for business and winning projects, you never had access to the behind the scenes. Like, from a digital marketing point of view, you wouldn't see what your story converts to on the website, for example, or you wouldn't see how it converts to literally bums on seats or sales or product reviews. But I had the access to that and it was great. And so I guess all I knew is that I wanted to set up a small business and I wanted to be super commercial, but I wanted to be creative at the same time. And so I just kind of had this line in my head that was a communications consultancy based on commercial goals. And I wanted PR to have a seat at the table in the same way that marketing did or sales or revenue did. And I was kind of just visualizing or manifesting, kind of speaking to a CEO and saying, PR doesn't have to be just the beautiful, shiny, sparkly thing. Let me be a core ingredient within it in the same way that marketing is, and let PR or communication set up the brand messaging and the positioning and the language that you want people to know and use for your product, brand, experience, whatever it is. And then I guess that just kind of evolved into what it is now. And because I had the background at Jumeirah, I guess I'm really lucky that I work with a number of smaller hotel groups, and they have access to the Jumeirah way of thinking via one person, and I'm a supplier, so the budgets are obviously much easier. And I really enjoy that. So one of my amazing clients is Sixth Sense, is Ziggy Bay, and I have an amazing relationship with the director of sales and marketing there, where we sit and develop campaigns or stories with a way to track things and see, okay, we need to engage with the GCC audience, for example. What are we going to do across PR, marketing, sales and revenue to make sure that happens? And it's what Jumeirah offered to me, and I'm doing now, I'm kind of executing from an agency perspective. I know that's technically not PR. I know it's different to what other people might expect, because I have a lot of clients that do want just the traditional way of thinking, and they want us to bring in media.
Yeah, but reviews, that's the releases. Question. What is PR? So you're like, this is not what people expect of PR. But in this day and age, what even is PR, right? Because it's not just getting a mention of your business in print or an ad on TV or whatever. No. It's what is PR to you now?
I would honestly say it's about influence. And whatever that influence is or where it comes from is PR. So you could have an incredible new attraction and only have a PR agency and not even have any ads or any spend on social media, let alone traditional advertising methods. But everyone will hear about that attraction because we bring the right people in who will tell their inner circle, their outer circle, beyond, you know, more and more. And that business can do well or not do well if you don't do it properly either. And I think now, especially with social media, we focus so much on people who have, you know, the 5 million plus followers, incredible amount of followers, but very limited engagement in our local markets. And I think it's one of the things that Alexandra and Morgan talked about in their podcast is you working with micro-influencers or content creators. And sometimes an incredible photographer who just has 10,000 followers on Instagram at the moment, but has an incredible network of people that can actually come and bring a new business to a venue, is worth infinitely more than the content they post. And so I guess it's having a healthy balance of all of those. I know I keep mentioning PR today, but I actually refer to Maya as a brand communications consultancy, because it's trying to grow brand equity and then in turn converting to money, commercials simply. And brand communications can be everything from podcasts to internal communications to newsletters via your database that go via your website, through to media outreach, to brand partnerships, to engaging with people of influence that aren't active in the social world but are influential in their own industry. And again, there's a lot there that can be done, but that technically is public relations, in that the public are being engaged with and hearing about a business, a product, an experience. And I think a lot of people don't always focus on that. They think, oh, I need a PR agency, send me your rate card for a press release. And I'm sure every single PR will tell you that they hate that. Actually, every single journalist will also tell you that they hate that, because it doesn't say anything. It's just a Word document that has very boring information that doesn't actually talk about the brand or the evocative language that you feel when you go and visit a place or when you go and sit at a restaurant and dine or anything else. So keeping that in mind,
it's not experiential. It's just words on a paper. I think both me and Zahra, coming from a print background or a magazine background, getting a generic press release is the absolute worst thing you want to see in your inbox, because depending on who the brand is, you might have to be forced to include that press release in your whatever page.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse than not knowing the backstory, not having tried the product, not knowing, like sometimes at some events we go to, when you meet the founder of the brand or you hear the story of the brand, that makes you fall in love with the brand so much that then you want to advocate the brand even on your own time.
Yeah.
But then you get these generic press releases, and I've seen them get less. So I receive less in my inbox than I did 3-4 years ago. But you do still find the random PRs that send just a long press release.
But I think that also goes back to some of the journalists that just copy pasted into their pages, and it's like, well, hey, I got the coverage, I don't care how I got it, but it's there. It's, I guess the laziness also comes up, but it's getting better. I think people like you, agencies like Maya, you guys are working hard to change the narrative, and I think that's what we need to show that it's not just a press release and it's done.
for sure. And that you're right. I think it's on people working in the industry to educate and offer the counsel mm-hmm. to their clients that this actually isn't the right way to go for your business. So let's work on targeted stories or experiences, like you say, that actually allow people to really feel your brand spirit and then in turn are likely to remember it, cover it in their own time, and actually come and enjoy it as a customer. Like mm-hmm. you'll get so much more that way than just online clipping of a press release.
Yeah. Again, like I said, it goes back to laziness and then also money. At the end of the day, brands are like, you know what? I just want my name out and I want it cheap.
Yeah.
And there are people that do it. So
yeah, like what do you actually want to get out of it? Like she said, I love that expression. Do you want bums on a seat? Or do you want just to show your client that there you go, you had 100 mentions this month and that's it. My job here is done. You
know, see, that's like, also
does that convert into anything valuable?
Yeah, but then that's the beauty of, I guess, being more integrated, because sometimes maybe someone needs a bit of help with their SEO and it's not PR. So, okay, you want your Google rankings. Here is an amazing digital marketing expert and they can help you with that. So it's not just about media, but there's so many ways that as consumers we can know about a brand these days, which is really exciting and good to be a part of.
It's funny you say that. I had a friend of mine who wanted to work with a PR agency to help build his name, you know, just so that he can be ranked up in Google when searched, get verified on Instagram and all these things. And he spent lots of money with this agency. And he got these articles out. They promised him something like 8 to 10 articles or something. And he got them all out. But when you Google him, you can't even find these articles. So it's like, but you promised that, like, this is what you can get from us. And the whole end goal was that he is up in that SEO. He's the first name that comes up when you search him. He can get verified. None of that happened. And I think that goes back to just them sending just generic press releases and saying, oh, look, here we are. We made it. You got your coverage. Doesn't matter if the coverage was good or not.
Yeah. Such a shame.
Yeah, it really is.
So, I mean, the world of PR and communications has already evolved a lot. But where do you see it going?
I'm loving all these questions.
I just find it such a fascinating field zone. I like pick her brain.
Yeah.
Also, I like that you get a bit technical. I mean,
I love that. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my God, I need to like look up these words.
Gosh, I'm wondering what I'm saying. Yeah. PR is ever evolving, as we've mentioned so many times. PR, marketing, any kind of creative industry is ever evolving. And as the consumer landscape evolves, so will how we communicate with people. At the moment, obviously, social and other platforms are king, because we're all on Instagram. We research on Instagram. We search on Instagram. Google My Business, I guess, is as strong, because you need practical information on a business, so you look at that. But we're not really looking at websites as much. You talked about earlier, I think, the beauty of print and how there's still a lot of legacy that comes with having print coverage, which I agree with, and I don't think that will... It might necessarily die down in certain ways because of advertising, but there's going to be certain titles that people love and they need to always have. So I think that will remain. I guess as each generation evolves as well, the way we communicate changes. Like, we all know the new kind of Gen Z, millennial, TikTok ways of working is very different to how we might be engaging on social. And I know, for one, I'm posting a lot less. I'm engaging a lot less because I'm kind of over it, but I'm still using it from a business perspective to check up on things for Instagram, or again, when I'm researching and looking for things. Who knows in time how that might evolve into something further and beyond. I would say it's all about digital. It's all about our phones. It's all about quick, easy to digest content. Like, we're all aware, like, I want to listen to a story when I'm already interested in the brand, but I don't want that story right at the very beginning. I'm not going to be enticed by that because it will just be overwhelming because I don't have time or the interest. But once you have me, then I'll be loyal and then I'll continue listening.
But that moment of having you...
That hooks you
in. That hooks you in is not easy, is it?
No.
Yeah.
It depends on what's happening in the at that moment, right? And it's so difficult to know what else is happening and how you can cut through the noise. It's so tricky. And that's, I guess, where trial and error comes into play. And maybe when you do have a PR, it's probably better to have a long-term relationship with an agency rather than a project, because that gives them the space to also do that trial and error on your behalf. Like, a three-month project isn't going to always deliver on your business goals, because it would be the quick buzz and excitement. Like, let's say a brand new restaurant, we all know, brand new restaurant opens, everyone is talking about it, everyone is there, but then in January, are we still talking about the same restaurant? Like, do we know about the chef? Do we know about the food, the core ingredients, their supply chain? Like, do they have a plant-based menu? Do they have amazing signature cocktails? I have no idea, but I just know that, you know, Hanine was there 2 months ago and she looked great. And it's like, gone, like, you know,
that's a very Dubai way of like doing things.
Isn't it? So I guess, like, having a long-term relationship, because then if you know that you're again going to have peaks and troughs in your campaigns, and okay, the launch is going to be all about the buzz and excitement, but then after launch is going to be about ongoing stories, then it's going to be about retaining things, and it's going to be maybe brand partnerships or bringing in right people to talk about the brand again. I think that probably is the best way to go about it, but again, who knows, right?
It's all about being one step ahead. Like, you can't just like, okay, it did well, now on to the next one. True. No, you really have to make sure that you keep going and keep it relevant and fun and not just a little trend.
So, and I guess with that, you have to take risks because you don't know what the right answer is there. You just have to keep going. So
yeah, it's true. So last question. What advice would you give someone that's looking to start their own thing? Whether that's their business, their mental health when it comes to starting their own business, like, what advice, or has there ever been an advice that you've gotten that you thought this is the one and it's helped you build your brand?
I think doing anything new or taking any type of risk is really scary. And we all have heard that phrase, kind of that leap of faith of doing something that goes against the grain. And so it's almost like ingrained in us that, what if you fail? Well, what if you succeed? And I think that's the thing that I'm learning is that the best thing, and I guess the only thing you can have faith in, is yourself. And you know that if something isn't going the right way, you're not going to keep doing it over and over and over again. You're going to adjust and you're going to move and try something different. And it's not only going to be over a long period of time. So it's not like, oh, should I set up my business? Well, what if I don't make money? Well, what if you don't make money in that way? There's another way to make money, because that's inevitable. There's so many ways to make money. Or what if I do this and I don't like what I create? So then adapt it and change it and go on to something else and keep yourself growing and evolving with that. And so I guess if I was to sum it up in a line, and a friend of mine said this to me and I repeat it constantly, nothing is linear. We can go in a straight line and then we can go left and then we can take 5 steps back and then we can do a topsy-turvy turn and then go into something else diagonally. And that's perfectly fine. Actually, it's not even perfectly fine. It's incredible, because that's so liberating. And imagine when we're 80 and we look back and think, wow, this was my life. I did this. I know I'd much prefer that than being on that straight, narrow path, but probably miserable because I haven't actually experienced anything different from what I had thought. And so I'd say it's that. Have faith in yourself. Know that you can move and everything can change, and that can be really exciting as well as terrifying. And at the end of the day, if you decide you don't like it, then that's fine too. You can go back. So I said it earlier, like, I can decide I don't want to be doing this, or I don't want to be living here, or engaging with a certain client, or having a certain team member, and I can just stop it and apply for another job, or stop working with that client, or get another client, or move into another industry. Like, no one is, I don't have shackles on my arms stopping me from doing anything. It's just the shackles in my brain that I'm going to get rid of. But yeah, just go for it, because what's the worst that's going to happen? You'll learn and do something different. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish we'd all remember that.
Again, it's the daily practice though. Yeah. And I think that's also really important. Again, projecting onto you guys. I need to be okay with having that daily conversation with myself and with people around me, because we don't have all the answers, and I guess that's the beauty of life. You just have to figure it out as you go along and then look back and be like, oh yeah, it's great, I did that. But yeah, there's still a long way to go.
No, that was great.
I love that.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to have that in the back of your head whenever you're doing anything, by the way, even when you're cooking. You can also change the recipe as you go, right? I don't know. I don't cook.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly. There's a point behind the recipe.
Maybe cooking, but not baking. Yes. I don't think you can do that in baking.
I don't know any of that. So
yeah, Zahra and the kitchen are just a no-go zone.
But thank you so much, Shadi, for being here. I loved hearing your story. I know we've talked before, but just hearing this other side of you has been wonderful. You. And thank you for being so vulnerable with us.
Oh, of course. And thank you for having me. It's so lovely to see the dynamic between the two of you also. And lovely to meet you, Hanin.
Lovely to meet you
Thank you.
Thank you so much.